Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
To keep my hands on myself.
What are you watching to get your sports fix during the pandemic? 617-779-0985. Talked about the Masters coverage yesterday. Some of the more local things that I've been enjoying, even though they're in standard def. I can watch standard def games. It's okay. I can get by doing it, especially if it's something I want to see again, Hardy. That's got to be part of it, too. Like, you've got to be into it to tolerate the standard def. But I can do it, man. I can stick it out.
All right.
You know what I'd like to see? They always used to run, this is a random game, they always would run the Clemens-Seattle 20-strikeout game. Jim, how many times have you seen that game, Jim?
That was just on last week.
Was it? It was on again?
Yeah.
I've seen it probably three times, you know, picking it up at different points and watching that game. I want to see the one from Detroit in 96, I think it was, if I have that year right. The second time that he did it. I'd like to put in a request for that one. Because we always see the Seattle one. The Seattle game is always played. We've all seen that by now. He did it again later on in his career. I wouldn't mind them throwing that one up. I just have that on the brain because seeing Clemens last night on the Sports Final special that they re-racked from 1995. Back when Zoe and Clemens were going to concerts together down at Great Woods.
That's a good time.
Let's go back to your calls, though. 617-779-0985. Mark in Medford on the possibility of baseball maybe not having a season. Hey, Mark.
Hey Beetle. What's up, Zoe? What's up, Hardy?
What's up, Mark?
All right, I actually got a comment on the baseball, and then I got a question for Mr. Robert Poole. First of all, Beetle, I agree with your dad 100%, okay? This will give MLB a whole year to think about what they need to do, what rules they need to tweak, and to get baseball to back what it used to be. Because right now, it's nothing but a pile of suck, okay? And my question to Hardy is, I don't know if anybody ever asked you this before, Hardy, but where did you get the name Hardy?
It's such a long and interesting story. I'm not going to bore you with it. But it's been my nickname for 30 years now. So there's most people assume it's either my real first name or real last name, but it's not. And
what's your wife call you?
Rob. Rare, you know what? It's so seldom that she actually refers to me by my name. It's kind of like a running joke in our 22-year relationship. But when she does call me by name, it's Rob or Robert.
I would say I've heard her say Rob, but it's because it's in conversation talking about something that had happened.
She never says my name.
Never says it to you, though, right?
Never addresses you by that. I say Marcy 500 times a day. Marcy, Mars, Mars, Mars,
right.
Marcy. The number of times she utters the word Rob, or oftentimes I'll say Robert, maybe once a week. It's just, I don't know. I think it's a sign of disrespect, quite frankly. I think it's a nice thing when you refer to somebody by their name, you know, either in casual conversation or just acknowledging their presence. But it's like this slow method of her trying to, like, whittle away any confidence that I have, any amount of self-worth, and just trying to – she's trying to kill me. She's just trying to kill me by a thousand cuts to my psyche, and it's been going on for decades.
I don't understand why people in radio – for most people that are listeners don't understand this either or would never even care. But why do people change their names in radio? And why do you have to have like two first names? Like,
I don't know. Why don't you address that with someone who's done it? So
most of these people, it happens with the higher ups, right? Like,
I don't know.
If everything goes to crap, what you don't want people to know your real name?
That was the old school radio method where you took your middle name and turned that into your last name. And that was how it was done for years. Thousands of DJs across all formats. You know, I'm trying to think of like, you know, Thomas James Kowalski became Tommy James. Hey, it's Tommy James here with
Tommy James here at Hit 104. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a better ring to it, I guess, but it's just got to be weird, like not using your name, your given name.
So what would be your radio name, though?
So what? It would take your middle name, David?
Scott David.
Scott David.
Hey, Scott David. Scotty, what would you go with?
Scotty D.
Mine's James Vincent. Would you go James Vinny?
Jimmy V is what you'd be.
Three syllables tends to be the magic number for a lot. You know, so I think you'd be Jim Vincent. I think that's nice, right? Three syllables is what you're trying to go for.
Tom Edward over here sitting next to me.
Tommy Edward.
Ed Thomas. I think Ed Thomas goes better.
Let's go to Frank, who's in Worcester. Hey, Frank.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, you know what's a show that I wish they would put back on? I wish they would bring back American Gladiator. There are some really great episodes of that show, and that would be so awesome to see again.
I enjoy the crap out of American Gladiator, and let me tell you the one problem I have with it is if they're going to spend a lot of time on a backstory for somebody, chances are they're going to do well. It's kind of like the same way in watching golf. You know, if somebody is nine strokes off the lead and they say, let's go over and check in with former U.S. Open and British Open champion Retief Goosen, who doesn't have a prayer in hell of winning this tournament, but let's watch him on his 71st hole. He's finishing up 9 hours before the leaders are. Oh, I wonder if he's going to chip this in from 30 yards off the green. You know, well, they kind of tip their hand on that stuff. An American Gladiator sometimes does that, but every once in a while they'll do a big backstory on one of the gladiators, and they end up falling right down in the water after the second obstacle. So I give them credit for changing it up every once in a while. And, we watch that in our house whenever it's on. You got your kids like it? American Gladiators, though?
No.
What?
Never watched it.
Yeah, you're missing
where,
out.
It's where have stuff. You seen it? When is it on?
Yeah.
I want to say it's an NBC show.
Well, American Ninja Warrior is one that they watch.
Oh, that's what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
He's talking about the 80s, like 80s game, 80s American Gladiators, right?
I let him.
That's
let,
what I was talking about.
Going. I let Hardy keep going because I'm like, I Hardy, think he's confused the two shows.
I used to watch ABC. What is it? ABC Superstars? What's this? Remember the athletes would go and do like all the canoeing and everything?
Because as I remember, American Gladiators, I'm like, I don't think they did backstories because they were all sort of characters on the show, reoccurring characters on the
show. See, now I have to go back. I just pulled up a video of American Gladiator to even see what the hell it was. Was it kind of like wrestling, but like...
No, they had all sorts of events. The Joust was one of them where they had the giant Q-tip things in there, and they would whack each other with them off the podiums.
No, yeah, but I mean like in terms of the presentation... In terms of the presentation, it had more of a like a wrestling feel than
Yeah, it did. But it was pretty great. I mean, I don't know.
Lots of steroids back in that day.
I remember it running on Saturday mornings and watching it on Saturday mornings as a kid when it was on in the late 80s.
I'd watch American Ninja Warrior if they put some new episodes out. I'd look at that. But not American Gladiator. I'm not watching that.
Gladiators. Plural.
What about Laugh Olympics? Would you
I don't
watch
know
Laugh
what that
Olympics
is.
Again?
No. What's that?
It's an old Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
That was a Hanna-Barbera thing, but you had to be a big Yogi Bear fan, right?
Yeah.
Hey, man, hey,
Grape Ape. Ape. Yeah.
You had to be Yogi Bear or Yogi Bear?
Yogi Bear. Yeah, not the baseball player.
Tim in West Roxbury. Tim.
North Attleboro. How you doing?
Hey, North Attleboro. How are you?
Right. Hey, you got a sump pump down there, Zoe?
A sump pump for what?
We're going to flood out over here.
You are? Where at?
In your basement, right? We're in North Attleboro.
Yeah.
Hey, so
we're
I got
flooded
question.
Today, huh?
Yeah. So what do you think about maybe salvaging 3 months of this baseball season and try throwing in all these new ideas? See if they work. Like July, August, September, have a season, try all these new things to make it shorter, quicker, and then have a short postseason.
I think it's good for the long run if they keep those changes and they see how well some of those things work. Notably, they should put in a pitch clock. But I think that whoever's crowned champion, as Zoe said earlier, you're not going to give it a lot of legitimacy. You're not going to count this one.
No, no.
People won't recognize it.
Fake season.
It won't feel like you won anything. And so I think that's probably a big problem these leagues are all facing right now as they sort of consider their options. Jim and Everett, what are you watching right now?
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, I'm in watching e-racing.
What is e-racing exactly?
It's a bunch of like IndyCar drivers, NASCAR drivers that have their own rigs at their house. And they race against each other with live commentary from race announcers.
So they're using like the simulators, so to speak. It's
right.
A you know, video game simulation where they race against each other.
Right. Then in the sports car division, you have E-League racers going up against pros with no handicap.
Okay, now you've lost me, Jim, but I'll stick on that first part. Simulation of NASCAR racing where they have sort of the – and I haven't seen it, but I'm guessing they've got everything.
I can't watch regular NASCAR.
They've got the wheel.
That's great.
They've got the shifter. They've got it all right there. They've got the gauges.
You know what
I'd rather do? All kinds of digital gauges, Artie.
I'd rather go online. I'd rather go online and watch people land
planes. What's the tachometer say?
Oh, you don't even have a speedometer in those cars. It's all about the tach and the oil pressure.
Tach
and oil pressure.
Baby.
That's all you need. By the way, Kyle Larson. Do you guys know who Kyle Larson is?
No, I do not.
Well, apparently he got into some trouble. Apparently he used a profanity during a live stream of the iRacing Pro Series event yesterday.
So?
He didn't realize his volume was on during the simulation. And he seemed to say that others on the team, you can't hear me, hey, and then drop the N-bomb.
Oh, that's not a that's
whoa.
He dropped
that is
a racial slur.
A
what?
Racial slur. Now, apparently, I thought we were
talking about like an F-bomb.
Oh, no.
Like, I mean, who cares? You know, isn't that what everyone does during video games? Swears at each other?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I mean, I don't think it was done maliciously. It was done in more of like a lyrical sense.
Oh, you mean A instead of R at the end? Or?
Yeah, whatever. But just to add to the nuance of the story, apparently, and I don't know anything about Kyle Larson. I just read this morning. He's half Japanese. And I guess he started in racing through something that NASCAR does called the Drive for Diversity program.
And NASCAR has a diversity program?
Yeah,
what's
well,
the point of that?
I don't know, but he's like the only driver ever of like Japanese descent to win a race. So there's a lot of language and a lot of things happen. A lot of things get said and he apologized for it and I don't know if he's going to be participating in the next whatever video game simulated whatever.
Wow, it's unfortunate. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. A couple of items on the Patriots, some football related stuff, including the divide between Belichick and Brady, and what one of the things may have been that was behind that. We'll get to all that coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
should know by the way you popped your car sideways at a wooden mat. You're the kind of person who believes in making out once, love them and leave them fast.
617-779-0985 is the telephone number for you. If you want to jump on board, we'll continue to talk about the things you're filling the sports void with. Chris Gasper had an item about Tom Brady and the Boston Globe, which I think could give some background on maybe the divide between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Can we all agree that there is some sort of divide, though?
There's even some friction there, yeah. I mean,
yeah, even if it's not. Yeah, go ahead, Zoe. You're saying.
No, I mean, even going back to that Super Bowl week against Philadelphia, when Robert and Jonathan, I think it was Andrea Kramer, they sat there and talked to right during that interview and said, Robert said at some point, you know, all three egos have to check, all three people, meaning me, you know, Tom and Bill, have to check their egos at the door for the betterment of the team. Because we all thrive off each other. That's how competitive we all are. And we all need each other to win football games and win championships. And when you realize that, you get past that. So, I mean, right there is even admitting to, you know, obviously there's something going on. And that's what you're trying to state here. Go back to the Wickersham, you know, piece, whether how much you believe in it or how much you don't. I think it's been well written by Curran, by Gasper, by people that cover the team, that, you know, whether you're close to the Brady side or the Patriots side of it, yeah, there's something that went on there, right? I was on those planes when Alex wasn't on those planes. Then he was back on the plane. So something happened during that time.
So what Gasper says is that over the last week, we've gotten the less scripted version of Tom Brady, that he can speak more freely now, as Gasper writes, that he is free from the metaphorical muzzle that Bill Belichick employs. He says the Foxborough filter has been fully removed. Not only is Brady beginning a new chapter in his football career, he's starting a new one in his public posture as well. Gasper says good for him. It's a bit of a rebranding, reprogramming, and you have to believe it comes in part on the advice of his publicist to the stars, Stephanie Jones. Her company, Jones Works, has a roster of celebrities that includes Dwayne The Rock Johnson, also Giselle, Zach Brown Band, and Venus Williams. It says, with his TB12 fitness and nutrition company, Brady is more than a football player. He's a celebrity lifestyle brand. In the later stages of his Patriots career, the entrepreneurial role created some friction with a certain tunnel vision coach. He says even Stern commented he felt Brady was finally coming on his show now because the Patriots' cone of cliches no longer applied. So this is what I would say, is that was this not happening because he played for the Patriots? I think the answer to that is yes. Had that become an issue for the coach, that Brady maybe wanted to do these things, and because he was a Patriot, he couldn't. Because playing for Bill Belichick, this type of stuff is frowned upon. But that Brady still sort of maybe pushed that boundary, right? With Tom versus Time, with TB12 being set up as big of an entity as it has become. Multiple locations, obviously a lot of product that they sell. Was he sort of already pushing up against that boundary in the eyes of Bill Belichick, and was that maybe fueling whatever divide existed over whatever football reasons there could have been, notably Brady's age? So did that sort of add fuel to that fire and contribute to the departure? I think it's a fair question to ask.
Yeah, I mean, it's all fair to ask. And I think you're going to get more and more out of Brady coming out, because, you know, I think he may feel that freedom to, okay, I could do both. I could concentrate on football, and I also can balance things where I don't have to worry about that tug and pull where does this have to be cleared, or do I have to clear it through the team, or can I just have the authority to do it myself? And do I understand things enough now to where I could do know what to do and what not to do? But probably going to be getting a little bit more of both from Brady moving forward.
Yeah, I think you are. I think you're going to see a completely different guy in terms of what he's doing outside of just talking, you know, at the podium. I'm curious to know what that podium stuff looks like this year when he talks to the media on Wednesday or whatever day he chooses to do it there.
Right.
Is he more open on a day-to-day basis? Is he more comfortable on a day-to-day basis? How does he act now that he's not playing for the Patriots. And so another question.
Real quick, too. Do they do podium? Do they even do locker room? Do they have to think about the way they do things now based on the type of individual we have? And now you're going to be separating them even more from the team. See, that's part of the problem, too. And I remember Favre at the end had his own dressing room. You know, and that was part of the negotiation that, hey, okay, I'm going to continue to play, but I'm so much older than some of these guys that I need my own space just to get away from a little bit when I'm inside.
Okay, I would ask this. Is Brady asking for too much to be able to do, you know, to Howard Stern, to go on a talk show or to write on the Players Tribune?
No, it seems like the perfect time to do that because
openly
he can't.
And freely. I'm talking about as a Patriot. Not now, not this week. I'm saying if he wanted to do these things a year ago, is that still the right move for Bill Belichick to frown upon those things?
Stern, probably, but he had to sit down with Peter King right in Montana.
Well, I would say why, but why? Why is
that? Peter King's a football guy.
No. Stern, why would you want to say no to that?
Because I think Bill would know what this would turn into, and he knows Howard would dig and wouldn't give the fluff interview like a Jim Gray interview. You know what I mean? Howard's having him on to stir it up a little bit. And Bill's like, do we really need this more attention?
Football-wise,
I thought we buried this. You know?
But what did Brady say football-wise that it all would have impacted his former team or current team in that interview? This is sort of my question. Brady waited until after he was a Patriot to do Stern. What happened in that Stern interview that was so bad? That would be so bad for the Patriots if he were still playing for the New England Patriots right now.
The biggest thing anybody took out of that was the OTAs, why I didn't go, because she wrote me a letter and our marriage was being questioned. Like, we didn't really get that. There were rumors of that in some of the tabloids, but really, you stayed away from us because she wanted you to stay away and not work out with your young receivers? Maybe if somebody on the inside would have taken that differently. I don't know. Whether it's a coach, whether it's a player. Maybe that's something players didn't know. Or coaches didn't know.
Let's pick it up on the other side. After headlines, you know, does this eliminate Cam Newton as a possibility for the Patriots? Because he's more than just a quarterback. He's more than just a football player. We'll get that into the mix coming up next.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I 617-779-0985, the telephone number. So the question about this Brady sort of, I don't know, coming out party over the last week, he feels so alive again to go out
liberated.
And just talk to, he's liberated, he's talking to Howard Stern and he's writing, you know, his pieces and he's got this PR person that is going to apparently, you know, raise his profile because, of course, Tom Brady needs to raise his profile. No one knows who he is. But he's out there now. He's out there a little more than he was here in New England, despite having written a book and done Tom versus Time and opened his clinics and all of that. So if you know, being more than just a quarterback is a problem, is Cam Newton too much of a star for the Patriots to be interested? Do you think that takes him out of the conversation for the Pats?
I think that's a massive part of it. I do. I guess Cam's a brand, too. And I called a bunch of games against those guys over the years, whether home or away. And he comes out and warms up in, you heard the song right there, Superman cleats and a Superman jumpsuit, tight suit. And that's where he does all his stride and stretch. And he goes back in, puts his uniform on, and then, you know, conforms to the NFL rules where you got to wear what the league issues you. And then he changes. So it's that important to him to come out and dress up like it's Halloween They put the headphones on and the big towel over the head and go through this whole production. And then you watch stride, stretch, and whole warm-ups. Everybody's warming up. And, you know, you get in military line, right? Five across, five more yards. Next guy, five across. Cam just walks around, does what he wants. And doesn't warm up with the team. But talks to people, waves to people in the stands. You know, has the he always puts that towel up over the head. That all has to change here. You know, this isn't, hey, it's your warm-up the way you want to do things. Just be ready to go at 1 p.m. on Sunday.
I understand what you're saying, but and I was kind of thinking the same way. And then Gasper's column last week, when he rattled off the list of players that have come in and played for the Patriots, what you know, some more successfully than others.
Yeah.
But and Cam Newton may be next level compared to all these guys. But when he went through the list, Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, Albert Haynesworth, Chad Ochocinco, Darrell Revis, Martellus Bennett, Antonio Brown. I mean, it's like, it's difficult to make the case. Well, the Patriots really
fits the criteria, Hardy. That's what you're saying. He fits the criteria.
I mean, they were willing to not only go there with all those players, but for the most part, they all kind of did their thing when they were with the team. And they may have toned it down a little bit, but, you know, the Martellus Bennett and Chad Ochocinco, he never really played. Okay, that wasn't really much of a – but, you know, Randy Moss, toward the end, he started to maybe spread his wings a little bit and become a little more the diva wide receiver that people were afraid he was going to be. And, look, the Antonio Brown thing was a disaster from the get-go, and that never had a chance to take off. But, you know, Cam Newton is a different type of player, and he's a different type of flamboyant or outspoken personality than some of these other guys. But in other ways, he's very much like them. I would put him more in the category of it's certainly not Antonio Brown. That is a special case, and that's a much different situation. But the Patriots have done it with players like this in the past, guys that you wouldn't think would necessarily be a fit. They come in, and some of them fit, some of them don't. But it's not like they'd be afraid to try it because it goes against what they feel institutionally or philosophically. I think they'd give it a whirl if they thought it was the best thing for the team.
And that would be a major indication that Stidham's not ready. Because if they feel Stidham's ready, you roll with what you have, and I think you draft a guy day two in the draft next week. Cam is the best out of anybody out there. If that's what you're looking, is an outside guy, because you don't have to give up anything to get him. You don't have to trade for like an Andy Dalton that we've talked about or anybody that's on another roster. Because I'm not looking at something that somebody's number two in another roster that you want to bring here to be a number one. Cam at least has played in this league and played at a high level. You know, things need to change here, obviously, if he comes here. But he's the best out of the crew.
But this, okay, you talk about it in more broad terms. Like, so he needs to change his towel on his head before the game?
No, no.
Why?
No, just warm up like, with the team. Team warms up, you warm up with your team. You know?
So
for example, so everybody had their helmets on and chin straps buckled and they're all stride and stretch. And Cam doesn't have his helmet on. He has a towel up over his head. Is that going to fly here in warm-ups?
No.
When you and I are doing our little pregame?
That example, no.
Okay.
Because
like that stuff has to change.
That shouldn't be allowed. No, but that should not be allowed anywhere.
Well, that's the problem. You know, see, everything was tolerated prior to this. Yeah, I agree. Pittsburgh does it too. Roethlisberger's the same way. Roethlisberger warms up with a damn baseball hat on.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, there are some things that fly on a bunch of other teams that I don't think any team should want to have happening. But
that's
like,
just you want to be looked at so different being that type of guy. That's all.
But let's sum it up to this: you want to go on Howard Stern as the quarterback of the Patriots? Why can't you do that? What's the problem?
You're right, Beetle. There was nothing in that interview
problem?
You say like, oh, well, obviously he wasn't going to do that while he was in New England. What was the big revelation? What did he say? He didn't say anything even close to being controversial in terms of football. And the only interesting thing I think he said with regard to football and his time in New England was that he had probably decided that this year was going to be his last. Probably the time had run out on both sides, that their time was coming to an end before last season started. Everything else he said, it was overflowing with praise of the situation and the team and the ownership and all that. Yeah, the only revelations came really from that one comment and the stuff that he spoke about a little bit in his personal life. But I don't think any of that would have run afoul with the Patriots or Bill Belichick had he gone on while he was still a member of the Patriots. None of that stuff really raised any eyebrows.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't think anything football-wise was said in there that would be considered too much to be talking about or out of line or anything like that. And so that's just what I would say. It's almost back to Brady. So wouldn't you want to know more? So did Brady just not even bother to push it or do it because he would catch grief? Is that why he wouldn't have done that, let's say, a year ago? Because he felt he couldn't be open? And if he couldn't be, like, why? Why? Why don't you? Why are you worried about that? About a guy doing off the field stuff that may or may not have a tie into football.
It's maybe that's a better question that we should have asked after the interview. Like, why now? Why did you finally agree to do that now? What was it that you said that you couldn't say before? What are you trying to get out there? And I guess we did ask it. What did he hope to accomplish in that interview, and did he accomplish it? I'm still not sure. But in terms of, you know, doing it while a member of the Patriots, I don't think there would have been any issue with it.
But so how did Bill Parcells feel about superstar players in general?
Not good. Not good. That's a thing Sims put out. You get 10 rules to be a quarterback, and the last one was no superstars. No one is bigger than the team. Yeah, he didn't like that. But he also knew that you needed it. He liked guys with swagger. He liked guys that had guts and had balls. And I thought he knew how to balance each different guy, you know, and how to push this guy's buttons as opposed to another guy's buttons. But, man, he would ride quarterbacks like crazy. He would ride us like crazy. And you couldn't wait to get to Sundays because it would be an escape from that nut job.
You know, I would agree. No superstar treatment within the walls of, you know, your facility is that's the right way to do things. But
I think
like outside
one-on-one
of it,
with the head coach, I think he would sit you down, talk to you. He would respect the hell out of what you did. He'd be like, hey, honey, you know, I'm only
right, but off the field, the superstar thing shouldn't matter. That's a good way of putting this. Yes, at work, no superstars. You don't get treated like a superstar in practice or in warm-ups or during a team meeting, but when you have other opportunities to do commercials or interviews or business opportunities off the field, that shouldn't reflect on you in a bad way back at the workplace. If you've got those chances, at least not now. I just don't know how sustainable that is to go on and say, I can't have a superstar. Well, superstars are not evil. So a lot of times they're the best players. You know, they're a superstar for a reason because they're really good. 617-779-0985. We've got a lunchtime item for you on the table coming up. And that is there's a surplus of items, a surplus of foods that are not being consumed during the pandemic. This story stood out to us today. We'll jump into that. More of your calls. What are you filling the sports void with? All that on the table here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. HelplineMA.org.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Zolak and Bertrand at 11:53 on this Monday. Everyone's hanging in there. Did you guys see these stories over the weekend about there being surpluses of items?
Yeah. You're talking farming items, like crops, food.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of different things that have sort of a surplus of goods. You would think we'd like figure that out by now, though. No? I mean, we're like a month into this, but There's all kinds of stuff that's being dumped. They're letting crops rot. They're letting milk go to waste. They're smashing eggs. I mean, there are things that are just, there's an abundance of, including a national surplus of, and this is still in the farming department, chicken wings. Chicken wings are being sold for as little as $1 per pound, according to the Washington Post, which is nearly half of what they were going for around the time of the Super Bowl. There were nearly 1.25 million pounds of chicken wings sold the same week that the NCAA tournament was slated to start last month, per the report. The quote, here's a quote from the president of the Fells Point Wholesale Meats Company in Baltimore, telling the Washington Post with the basketball, it's for real.
I read that quote 9 times.
Which is a great quote. He goes on to say, the basketball didn't happen. People are not going to restaurants, and there's a lot of excess, meaning there are just a giant backup of chicken wing supply right now because we didn't have March Madness because, as Eric said, the basketball, it's for real.
Well, and also, Beetle.
Eric Oosterwick.
Jesus.
Go ahead, Artie.
Not only is it for real, but it didn't happen. The basketball didn't happen.
What's that even mean?
The basketball.
It didn't happen.
It's for
it's real, and it didn't happen. So going back to what did they say around the Super Bowl, where they sold a million and a quarter pounds? Or no, I guess that was supposed to be, you know, based on what happened last year. They're operating at about, they're selling like a third of what they thought they were going to sell. So that, I mean, the long story short, which makes sense, they've got millions of pounds of wings that were never ordered and not eaten. So that's it.
Well, wouldn't you have an abundance of chicken breast too, since you have an abundance of wings, if you're killing the chickens? Or do you treat these chickens that are raised, do you treat them like crabs, where you, like stone crabs, you rip off the claws and take one claw off and put them back, and they regrow the claw? Do you rip the chicken wings off the chickens and they regrow?
No.
No. So you should have an abundance of chicken breasts too, right?
Yeah, and I think there's an abundance of a lot of things. And, yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I don't know at what point did they freeze some of it versus, right? Because I'm guessing that a lot of this stuff may be shipping frozen. I don't know the details.
Chicken wings would seem like that you'd get the frozen massive bags of them right if you're a restaurant. You just throw them in the fryer and you get them.
Yeah. As Will Sawyer, in this story, he's an animal protein economist. Who knew? Who knew that such a thing existed?
It's a very specialized field.
Yeah,
animal protein economist.
He works for CoBank, and he said the major wing chains that should be hot this time of year are closed. The food service side of things, they probably still have wings they bought weeks ago getting ready for March Madness and for people to come watch the games, but they're not selling them. Yes. And so I'm guessing, though, like, people are still buying the chicken breast, but they're not buying chicken wings. I mean, how often do you buy chicken wings at home?
I bought them last week because they were well-priced.
Because they were a steal.
Yeah.
But
like a big pack of them. I got them a big wide. They were cheap.
I mean, how often do you buy those, though? How often do you buy chicken at home? How often do you buy a chicken breast or, you know, chicken strips? You buy that all the time.
Yeah, I buy the breast.
Right, if you're cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You buy actual cuts of chicken.
Correct.
How often do you really opt for, I'm going to buy chicken wings?
Like,
that's
like
more of a
have,
restaurant item.
Yeah, if you're going to have like a cookout or you got games coming up or something, yeah, maybe you'll do that. Something different.
So what I think this comes down to is we all need to start buying chicken wings and making them at home. Like ASAP.
Yeah, but how do you...
We got to solve this great American problem right now. We've got Hardy, we've got to do our part. We need to buy the dollar chicken wings. Buck a pound? Yeah, we can make those.
Okay,
make chicken wings.
So you're talking about just, you know, the raw, unbreaded, here's a bunch of chicken wings.
Yep, bag of chicken wings.
Zoe probably does more cooking than you and I combined, Beetle.
Yeah.
Zoe does a lot of it. Zoe, have you ever made your own chicken wings?
Yes, did it last week, and I did the red was that Red Hot with the butter? You melt the butter down, mix the hot. Did my own
rub?
No rub. Just I put them in a bowl. Put the sauce in a bowl. I cooked the chicken wings on the grill. Threw them in the sauce, the melted butter with the Red Hot. Mixed it up, and there's my wings right there with blue cheese. It was awesome.
And now, if you could order wings in a restaurant, is your go-to a breaded wing, or is it? No, you don't do a breaded wing.
I don't like breaded. No.
I
like the honey garlic or buffalo.
All right.
Those aren't breaded. Yeah.
No, I understand.
I don't. Yeah, but if you want fried chicken, you go get fried chicken. You know what I mean? You go to Popeyes. You go to KFC. Then you get your fried chicken. See, KFC's not really even fried chicken to me. You want a little bit of crunch when you bite into it.
Right, like Hardy, when you go to KFC, you like the breaded chicken wing that you get in the fried chicken?
It's not really breaded. It's they're pressure cooked there. So like,
I don't want that. I want a drumstick or a chicken breast.
You know who?
I don't want a wing.
Like
you order wings, like buffalo wings. Yeah. That's the kind of wing I want.
All the local food stores have really good fried chicken bags in their chicken departments. It's pretty good. Without getting into names, good fried chicken. Get a bag. Feed the family.
Whatever you do, don't name names. Ask Bob Sosi. He usually has an opinion on this. He knows about fried chicken experts.
Sure. And I hear him
talking about it all the time.
Onions, mushrooms. Yeah. All of them.
Hey, by the way, fried chicken experts.
You mentioned Bob Sosi. We got a little wacky going on down there, huh? Did you see his notes for his draft show?
Oh, my. His meticulous notes that he had yesterday. Hardy pointed them out on Twitter, too. They are the stuff of dangerous people.
Serial killers. Yes. He would know the exact longitude, latitude of the spot, the plot in New Hampshire where he would take the body to bury it as it's dismembered in his bathtub.
Think Kevin
and what angle to cut the joint.
I meant to look up Ted Kaczynski's handwriting to see if it resembles. Oh, my God, it does. it's something. It's something that he's got going on there in his notes. His meticulous, well-researched, highly prepared notes that he's got to do anything on air, because that's the kind of guy he is.
You should see him on the airplane.
Hard worker.
Numbers and
shelves of notebooks, just single-spaced, college-ruled, every single inch of every page filled with words and letters and tiny diagrams, and they're just all stacked behind him in chronological order. And he just spins slowly in his chair and selects a volume and takes it.
A composition notebook, no less, Hardy.
Yes,
he's going to snap
right?
one day.
The composition notebook.
He's going to snap, and it's going to be glorious.
Oh. Hey, what do you got there in that notebook there, kid, huh? None of your business. Okay.
17 ways I could dismember you and kill you with a finger.
All right, 90 seconds. Hardy has headlines. Go out and buy some chicken wings. Help the chicken wing economy. And get those chicken wings moving off the shelves at $1 a pound, maybe less. We have more on what you're filling the sports void with, not spilling the void with. What you're filling the void with. Get some research that was done, a survey, statistics on what people are doing. We'll tell you about that coming up right after headlines, no commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.